I was getting a little paranoid at what I might accidentally see if I'm unlucky.
The commanders and everything, and everybody knows that it's dirty. It's when they perform ceremonies.
No, demons do not need permission.
Even take you by force.
They don't.
That's when the spirit managed to enter his body through his mouth and nose.
You know, there have been sightings, multiple sightings. So that's an urban legend that I hear when I first moved to TV. They're like, okay, ma'am, you need to hear all these horror stories. I'm like, okay, hit me.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Police work isn't easy. Besides keeping the community safe, writing reports, and doing whatever it is their vocation requires of them, they also need to keep secrets of their paranormal experiences. I've met a police patrol at Jalan Wak Hassan area a couple of times and we stopped to chat about the hauntings in the area. I think they probably felt relief that they could tell it to someone else who believed them. As a modern progressive nation, we pride ourselves on having a practical and logical view of the world. Unlike the generations before us who believe in old wives' tales. How silly of them, we say. But it's this sort of mindset that pushes the discussion of the paranormal to the underground. And it's also what makes Supernatural Confessions so intriguing to so many people. Because these stories aren't available in public domain. There's a strange fascination about the paranormal and the unknown. And a part of us wants to know if it's true. And such validations are even more powerful when it's coming from people in position of authority that we trust, such as doctors, scientists, and police officers. All this and more on this podcast episode of A Police Story, only on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy. My name is Eugene Tay.
I'm Jonathan Lim.
Welcome.
And tonight is all about the boys and girls in blue.
Yeah. And welcome to we have a new guest with us today. I think Bala Ganesha.
A friend told you to join. So yeah, you have very good friends. Hi, welcome. And today's first in line was
Maureen. Before 9 PM. She's here already.
Wow, well done. Followed by Jillian. Hello.
Who Abba, else is here? Abba as well.
Alicia. Who's Dax? D-A-X-X-E.
He's been around.
Ah, okay. Hello, yeah, Dax.
Dax, Donnie Darwin.
Hanjay, Mark Shippo, Jill Chong, Camellia. Satin Roses.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Satin Geron. Roses.
Yeah, I like that.
That's Geron. That's relatively new. I remember.
Satin Roses, are you new? Please say hi if you're new so we can welcome you. Yeah. Geron. Frankie, that can be arranged. Night Owl. Rawr. Rawr is here again. Okay, always happy when I see Rawr. Carlos Cole.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So we got to give a Candy Chia as well. I met Candy today for a confession. Candy has confessed. About Toa Payoh. Okay. So that one will be coming up months from now.
So we're gonna start doing constituency by constituency.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
And Candy has issued us a challenge. So he said, hey, you all should do a walk with Hantu Toa Payoh. There's so many haunted places.
Wow.
Adrian Lim there and everything.
That's true.
Anna Wong, hello. Oh. Okay, I want to say hello and thank you to the following names. For Sentience, these are the Supernatural Confessions patrons. If you do not know, Supernatural Confessions has a Patreon account. You can go check us out, www.patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. And your contributions earns you some perks, behind the scenes stuff. And also, thank you guys. We have the top tier, Alation, Adrian Chua, and Chua Elaine. In the spirit tier, we have Deborah Cornfield, Chia King To, JK for short. That's how he's called. Joel Goh. Karina J. Souls tier, we have Candy Chia, Grace Chia, Linda Hayden, Ron and Teo Shi Chie. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay, okay. Hey, very good, very good.
So, wow, it feels like we're all grown up now. Now we have a Patreon, right? It's like, we're legit now.
Yeah, but for those of you who are you know, because Patreon is going to be a bit of a commitment. It takes a monthly commitment from you. But if you just want to, you know, happy suka suka, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess or on YouTube itself. There's the supers. There's actually an icon with a dollar sign there, so you can click on that and you can choose any amount you want.
Super chat. Yeah, is that the super chat?
I'm not sure.
Is that the
super Elvin chat? De Cruz, the super proprietor, is trying to help me create super emoticons for you guys. So
cool
stuff are happening. I'm still figuring it out.
Oh no, someone says is my background lighting very dark? KK Heng. He said, what's up with my background lighting? Why do you see someone there? Is there someone there? What's going on?
Your background got mood, leh.
Okay. I don't want to be too bright. Okay, okay. All right.
Hey,
okay.
Anyway, I played a song just now. It's the hint to today's theme. Can you guess what it is?
Stalkers.
Oh. Every Breath You Take was performed 1983 by The Police.
The Police. Okay. So if you guys how many of you out there are too young to know The Police?
So I figured, I think every week I'm going to play a song because you can't shut me up. I'm going to sing.
It's okay, it's okay. It scares the hantus away.
So, okay. You know, if you guys cannot stand my singing, just come about 10:58. I'll be done by then. 9:58, rather. So today's going to be all about The Police, The Boys in Blue, The Boys and Girls in Blue. And I have some really solid confessions. And actually, I have a lot more, John. This isn't the end of The Police confession.
It's okay. We can do Police Part 1, Police Part 2. Okay.
So even the title, I think Navinet got it. He said, Navinet and Elvin got it. He says, it reminds me of a Jackie Chan show.
Yes, The Police Story.
Telling of our age, huh?
So classic. So I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. I'm too young. I'm too young to know this. So tell us a little bit about The Police and the supernatural, Eugene.
Okay, so one thing that we know is the Boys in Blue are very tight-lipped about the supernatural. They are not supposed to believe in the supernatural. It's all by the law, right? but many police friends of mine have said, hey, I tell you a story, you please don't go and mention my name on your show, okay? You know, they want to confess, they're dying to tell me the story. Like, hey, don't say my name, no, I don't want to go on video, you know? So I say, okay. But today, we also have our guest, who's an ex-police officer. If you guys have been for the Live show last year, you remember her. Her name is Melanie Tan, or you know her as Mel. She stood up during the Live show and she says, I'd like to challenge that confession. I was once upon a time a police officer and I know how it works. So we brought her on the show today to give us behind the scenes knowledge on how things are run. And also 11:35 tonight, featured confession starring Murali. So you know Murali as the spiritual practitioner, but guess what he was before he was a spiritual practitioner?
Also police. Wow. Okay, we are very thematic nowadays. Got song lah, got featured confession lah, got special guest lah. Wow, we are so curious.
Okay.
All right.
Come, let's bring on our guest.
All right. Melanie.
I think she should be in blue background. I just realized she's a cop.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Hey, Melanie.
All right. Hi.
Hi.
How have you been since the Live show?
I've been good. I've been good. Still kicking. Mm-hmm. Still live.
What are you up to this day?
It's always good. Oh, yeah. I'm still working my day job.
Had any encounters lately?
Well, they are not that, you know, like common. Thankfully not. Okay.
Thankfully not.
Yeah.
I think that's the standard like SC greeting, right? Like, hey, recently got seagulls or not? You know, and I think we should start asking them more often.
So today
I'm looking forward to getting lots of like professional input from you, right? You know, it's like, you know, your professional take based on your experience and your training, you know, and the things you've seen, you know. But I also hope you can share some fresh stories with us of what you went through when you were in the service, right? so exciting.
Right. So, okay. So personally, I haven't actually went through anything. So a lot of it is hearsay. Mm. I'm the oblivious one. Yeah. So if they, if somebody were to stand at the corner or on the roof, just crawling about, I wouldn't see it. I wouldn't. I'd be like, la la la, rainbows, unicorns. I'm not seeing anything. I refuse. Like, object. I'm just not gonna. Just blocked. Yeah, but if they go out of the way to touch me, or if they go out of their way to come and talk to me, yeah. So it's not that I don't believe in them. It's just I choose, number one, not to notice anything. But you know, right, when you get creepy vibes, just ignore.
I mean, so the hantu must be proactive, lah. The hantu have to make it. Make it
touch aspect. You, but like, must at the talk same to time, you. Sounds like going to a club, lah.
But at the same, but at the same time, no, please don't. Do you know what I mean?
They're listening right now, so you know they're learning how to deal with Melanie. Mm. Okay. Okay. So we have three special confessions, right? That are all linked to the police in some way or other. Right, some about where the police train, some are actually on cases, right? And so that's quite exciting also. That's my favorite. Okay, so where are we going to start? Yeah.
But I think before we kickstart the confessions, the featured confessions for today, the three confessions that we have, I want to give you some anecdotes, confessions that I've got, like almost like just one paragraph on it, you know. And it doesn't really fit into a featured confession or anywhere, so I thought I'll just verbally tell you.
Sure.
And also, I want to give a throwback, because there was a guy called Alvin who was the very first Supernatural Confessions police confessor.
Wow. So how long ago was this?
2020.
Wow.
So all you Lao Chia out there who is watching us since then, you probably remember this story. I'm going to read it out to you.
All right.
But for those of you who just joined us the last 2 years, this will be brand new for you. Okay, so this one is actually shared with me by someone who did his national service in the in the new police academy at Choa Chu Kang. So this story is there's a cupboard that's supposed to never be closed. And if you close this cupboard, the cupboard will vibrate at night. So in fact, there's an old 50 cent coin that is welded into the drawer.
Okay.
It's not pasted. It's not left behind. It's welded in. So whoever did that was very serious. So every night, if you close the cupboard and you locked it, the cupboard will have banging sound from inside. So when he opened it up, nothing. So I asked him, I said, could it be a rat? He said, no rat, but in the PA got giant millipedes, and I don't think millipedes can bang on a cupboard. So if any of you are from the new PA and you know about this cupboard with the welded coin, please leave us a comment. We want to know whether is it still there, because obviously this one, I think, might be some years. Like, he's no longer in his 20s, so probably 10 years. This other one I'm going to share with you, this is a famous urban legend that has been going around, right?
Okay, wait. Sean Lim wants to know, why 50 cent coin, not the $1 coin? $1 coin got pakwa, right? The $1 coin has the octagon.
Maybe when this thing was welded,
so
it was pre. No, like, cannot, like new PA, la, so I don't know.
Yeah. The $1 coin came out, I think, like what, 1980 something? Yeah.
Good question.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
So this one, it's actually an urban legend. Okay.
Okay.
So many boys serving the National Service will have heard it. But this guy messaged me or called me up. This was 2020, right? It says, bro, I was the guy who had this experience. And I'm going to tell you from my point of view what happened. So you minus all the urban legend, all the tamba with spices, everything. This is from Alvin himself. Huh?
Okay. This is straight from the source.
Late one night, after a hard day of physical training, exercises and drill training, I was damn shacked and knocked out early. Midway through my sleep, I was awakened with someone gently nudging me. Bro, can you follow me go toilet? In my sleepy stupor and barely able to see, I said, okay. Climb off the top bunk to follow my buddy to the toilet. He walked in front of me and I just followed. Weary-eyed, still half asleep. You know that sleepy state where everything's a blur and you can't really focus or see properly? So we were at Bravo Company, which was the building just between the mess canteen and Alpha Koi, or OCT barracks, in front of the basketball courts. Behind the koi, where we all hung our laundry, was a forest with a cluster of banana trees. The toilet is on a half level down between the first and second floor. I followed him and reached the toilet. He went into the cubicle stall to take a shit while I went to the urinal. I didn't really have to pee, but since I was there, might as well. Now, I've always been a bit afraid when it came to camp toilets, as I read all the stories and listened to all the horror tales. So, as far as possible, I avoid looking at the mirror and the ceilings for fear that I might spot something in the reflection or looking down at me. I don't have the special third eye, but who knows? Better to not see, right? Hey, damn shag, leh. Today the drills and PT was damn tiring, ah. My buddy said from the stall. Yeah, tomorrow morning will be worse. IPPT coming up, so confirm a kena from FY. I replied, still peeing. Yeah, but luckily got lesson in the afternoon, so can relax a bit, lah. My buddy added. He could only be hurt since the door was closed. I finished peeing and went to wash my hands. Hey, faster, leh. I want to sleep. Wait lah, stomach ache, he explained. So I waited, still trying my best to avoid looking at the mirror and at the ceiling. My mind was filling fast with what-if scenarios. I was getting a little paranoid at what I might accidentally see if I'm unlucky. Quickly, I chased again. No reply. He must be concentrating. So I went to the next stall, climbed on the toilet bowl, over the connecting wall. There was no one. Absolutely no one. I climbed back down and went to the sink, trying to keep calm and not reveal that I know no one was in the stall. I said, "Hey, I go back first lah. Damn shit. I want to sleep liao." And began to slowly make my way towards the door. He replied, the voice still coming from inside the cubicle. "You sure you really tired and want to go back? Or you know who I am now?" My skin crawled and goosebumps ran all over my body. So this is the urban legend about the you know I know.
So who is he?
Actually, we don't know who he is. Yeah. I thought he was going to go back to the bunk and find his buddy was still asleep.
Right.
And
then,
when he wakes up the buddy will go, "Why you leave me in the toilet?"
Okay, so according to the article that I read, the urban legend I read on Hang Zai, right? There was a continuation. Okay. He was running back to the bunk and he saw his buddy coming out of the bunk. He said, "Hey, where are you?" He said, "No, I will be here all along." Yeah, urban legend.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I know what happened. He went through a time warp.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, his buddy was about to get out and go toilet. So he hasn't gone to the toilet yet, but this guy already finished his conversation with the friend.
There's a glimpse. There's a glitch in the timeline.
Yes.
Space-time continuum.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, Mel, I don't know. Which side are you on? Are you leaning more towards the must be the hantu? Are you leaning more towards the loser side?
Let's find out when she expresses her opinion. You cannot make people vote right away, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Let,
yeah,
let's...
it's not a live show. We can't just vote straight away.
Let's slowly find out, okay? But for all of you out there, okay, feel free to speculate, okay, which side Melanie will be on, and we will see, okay?
Yeah.
I have my very, very firm suspicions, but okay.
Hey!
Because I remember from that show. Yeah. Okay. Any more cookie stories for us?
These are the good ones. Along the way, I think I will share a bit more, but stay tuned because later on, we're going to get Melanie to share the stories that she heard from the police force. But for now, we're going to go... I have three different sets of confessions. One is from the NS police. Then there's police headquarters. And then there's police on the job. So we're going to start with possession at the old police academy, shall we?
Yep. Okay, take it away.
Okay. Possession at Old Police Academy. Confession by Keith. The Old Police Academy has a lot of ghost stories. Really, anyone doing NS would have heard of one urban legend or another. I served my NS in the police force. This was in the year 2000. The building was sibei old. Three stories high with communal toilets on each floor. My buddy acts or sensitive and can actually see ghosts. First day of in camp, he already filled his cupboard with Bible lah, talisman, holy water, etc., etc. I used to joke that being his buddy is the safest, because if any ghost came, he would have an answer to deal with anything. But even then, he managed to get possessed. This was during the second week of our stay already. Throughout the first week, X wasn't able to sleep well. He kept complaining that something was trying to enter his body. I didn't think anything of it. My first thought was that he was trying to chao king. One night, he woke me up, complained. He felt very hot and needed to shower. I said, bro, so late already, just go sleep lah. X left the bunk on his own. After that, I couldn't get back to sleep and I felt a bit like a dick. So I went to the toilet to check on him. In the force, we were always told to go in pairs, look out for each other. And some in the squad even have the unspoken understanding that at night, if one person needs to pee, the buddy must always go. So Lan Lan, no? I didn't want to be the asshole, right? The stall water was running. I could hear voices, but I couldn't make out the words. They were a bit muffled. For some reason, I just became wide awake. Alarm bells were going off in my head, and this feeling just came suddenly. I crept up to the stall, calling his name. Oi! Exa! For the first time in my life, I felt real fear. You know, we used to write in composition that my blood runs cold in my veins? I felt that. X was standing, facing the wall, so I could only see his back, but he was fully clothed and soaking wet. I reached in to turn him towards me. That's when I noticed X's features were slightly altered. He did not look like himself anymore. He spoke to me in another voice, and in Mandarin! My Chinese isn't all that good, and even conversational Chinese is a stretch. X is Indian, and he spoke a whole string of Chinese to me. I kept repeating myself, hey, fuck lah, stop it lah, not funny. Then X stopped talking and smiled. His eyes were just white. And through the smile, I heard what I believe is X calling from somewhere inside the body. Help. Fuck. I left X there and I bolted. I woke the whole squad up. When we got to the toilet, X was already squatting and crying in a girly sobbing way. The Malays in the squad recited their verses. Others just stared blankly. Back then, phones got no cameras. Otherwise, this one confirmed go viral. Luckily, I had the cow sense to go to his locker to grab his religious items. As buddies, we both knew where each other hid the keys to our cupboard. So I hung the crucifix around his neck, I placed the Bible against his chest, and I doused him with a bottle of holy water. It seemed to work, because X calmed down and went into a deep sleep. We carried him back to his bed and he slept throughout. At some point, I was wondering if he would even wake up. I don't know if any of us managed to sleep that night, but nobody wanted to talk about it. We just went back to our respective beds and we waited for the first roll call, which was going to happen in a matter of hours anyway. That morning, thankfully, X was able to wake. He woke with a high fever, so he was sent off to the medical center and got warded for 3 days. When he finally got back to training the following week, he told me what he had experienced. He said that for many nights already, there was a spirit of a woman who came to him for help. He tried to ignore her, but she was very persistent. He finally relented and asked her what she needed. She just replied, "I need a place to rest." So X replied, "Then go rest lah." That's when the spirit managed to enter his body through his mouth and nose as if he had inhaled her. Then everything after that was blank. He just knew he felt very hot and he needed to douse himself in water. But things were on autopilot and the memories were very fuzzy. Apparently after that incident, X topped up his cupboard with even more religious paraphernalia. Though from time to time, he will still say he can see spirits approaching, but there were no other major incidents like the one I had witnessed right before my eyes. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show. Dum, dum, dum.
I like this story. Okay, come, let's introduce our guest and her opinion. What do you think is going on, Melanie?
Okay, possessions.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know how I feel about possessions, honestly. Okay, there's like this joke that's been going around saying like, okay, like some people don't believe in possessions because mm-hmm. the people who are normally possessed, they don't speak another language. So you've heard like these stories, right? Like Malay person is always like speaking Malay when they're possessed. English people right. is always speaking English when they're, like you see every like American horror movie out there. You don't see an American speaking in rapid Japanese. You don't see it. You know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know how I feel about possessions. This story is quite interesting. I mean, like, okay, factually, it's there. Yeah. It's, I mean, like, yeah, you follow somebody to the bathroom because, like, you know, we're encouraged to go in pairs, your buddy up system and everything. I mean, it seems all right. You know what I mean? I don't find any kinks in the story.
What actually lies behind this buddy up system?
Oh,
is
like...
Is it an acknowledgement that the toilet is not safe?
No. No, you just need to pair up because, like, you know...
Why? What are you encouraging? Mm-hmm. What are you
know when we go for patrols, we're in pairs.
Patrol, and I understand.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. It's a whole culture. So it's like really, you need your buddy with you.
Toilet,
yeah.
Even toilet. Well,
I mean, if somebody slips and falls, it's a safety issue as well. I mean, if somebody slips and falls in the toilet,
right.
somebody will be there. Yeah.
I think it's secretly an acknowledgement from the authorities that the camps are not clean and the toilets are the least clean part of the camp. Right? So that's the excuse.
The acknowledgement that the camp, like the commanders and everything, and everybody knows that it's dirty. It's when they perform ceremonies.
And
that's the acknowledgement.
And they do it openly, right? It's not secretive.
Yeah, correct.
Anything, right?
Yeah, no. Mm. Sometimes it's on the roof. Sometimes it's wherever. Yeah, they do. They hold ceremonies. So like, bless the place, you know.
Have you had any experience with the OPA? A lot of people in the chat were talking about it, right? This is the one that's near near Toa Payoh, right? Along Toa Payoh.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really run down. I think by the time I was in the force, it was already called the OPA.
Was it still in use though? Did you?
We use it for more like more technical trainings. So more we use the computer labs. We use the halls. We sit in the rooms.
You didn't have to stay on the premises, right?
No.
For those of you who are wondering, right? Some of them were talking about how it was close to cemeteries and all that, right? Actually, the OPA is at the foot of what used to be Koh Pi Swa. Koh Pi Swa was, of course, the hill that MediaCorp was built on, and also that contains most of Bukit Brown. So actually, the furthest reaches of Bukit Brown touch the back of the PA. Yeah, it's the same plot of land. So not surprising, right? Everything flows downwards, you know? Okay, so you reckon it could have been a real possession, lah, right?
I don't know if I believe in possessions, man.
Wow.
Look, I believe in ghosts. I don't know if I believe in possession.
You believe in ghosts, but you may not believe in possession. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, okay. I believe in entities, right?
Right.
But I don't know if I believe in possession because that kind of means that they're intelligent. That kind of means that they are a sentient being. You know, that kind of means that they have neurons, neurological brain synapses going on in there.
And they have intentions. They have agendas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
So you're not sure about that, or you don't want to believe in that. It's two different things, you know.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm so scared. I better just ignore it.
My ignoring it will be.
Yeah.
Okay, Eugene, on your hand, what do you think?
Again, I like this story. It seems it's a classic possession story, but I think what I like most about this confession is the person who I got the confession from, he's very bravado about this, and it's very entertaining listening to his retelling of the story. So I'm trying my best to replicate the way he talks to me. And it was a very hilarious conversation. But let's just take a look, right? At the I always say, let's take a look at the confessor's way of telling. Because I always want to say that to most confessors, when they tell a story, they always believe in the story, of course, because they their own experience. So a very interesting case here is, did X talking, as in skiving, for those of you who do not know the word talking, is because you don't want to be in military, you're just trying to find any ways and excuse to get out. So I asked this question. I say, hey, did he chowking? He said, no, actually, he eventually graduated from the whole course. So if he was trying to skive and just pretend that he was possessed, I think that was a lot of effort for no returns.
Yeah.
Right? And I think X also knew that he was already susceptible to spiritual attack from before. So when he came into camp, he's like, I prepare Bible, crucifix, and everything. I like that this guy actually had the heart to say, no, la, actually, you go on your own. And then he felt bad. Then he walked. Then he said it was the most frightening experience in his entire life. He was really spooked and never again. I felt that this was at a buddy-buddy element. And of course, if you ask me whether the possession is real or is it a medical condition, right? That's always a very fine line. I believe in this case, it's not medical. X really was a sensitive person who spirits can just jump into his body. So one line that he was said in the story, the confession, was that the spirit wanted to ask for help. And he's like, reject, 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 reject. And eventually he says, what do you need? And she goes, I need to rest. So he said, want to rest? Just rest lah. I think what he didn't understand from that request was the resting was in his body.
Yeah.
And he has just given permission to the spirit to enter.
Yeah, so don't answer too quickly when you're talking to ghosts.
Correct.
Yeah. They will read between the lines, so please be careful what you say.
Right.
You know? Okay, okay.
So that's my takeaway.
Okay. I'm fascinated by the language thing, right? You know, which I think is something that strikes the confessor as well, right? That his Indian friend, who has not exhibited any skill in Chinese, you know, suddenly speaks Chinese, right? And then a very, very dramatic moment where, you know, you can hear like his own voice coming from somewhere inside.
Help! I know, yeah.
You know, and it's quite powerful. I love the way the story is told. You know, and then you bring him his cross, bring him his crucifix, his Bible. And I like to believe that. So, okay, assuming that it's a Chinese spirit, right? It's an old lady spirit, right? Who I don't think would normally be exorcised by a cross and a Bible and holy water. You know, I don't think she would give a damn for these ang mo things, okay, that are not part of her life, right? But I think that these spiritual items gave the weak soul inside a confidence to push her back out. You know, they were familiar to him.
Yeah,
they reminded him that, you know, you have a faith. Right, you're not fighting alone, right? So I think once he was given those things, it's like boom, you know the superhero puts on the armor, right? And and suddenly he came out, right? Because I feel the recovery was very fast, right? Short nap, wake up, he's fine, and nothing happened again, you know.
I have a question.
Aren't possessions a demonic thing and not a ghost thing? Because the entity asked for permission before coming in. Isn't that classic like demon thing?
No, that's a vampire thing.
You're not asking for permission into your house. No, I mean you know, like demons need you know, like permission, right?
Demons do not need permission.
Thank you by force.
They don't?
No.
Demons do not need permission.
But isn't possession like a demon thing?
Okay, so
and not a ghost thing.
Demon is demons are a possession thing within the Catholic faith and within the Christian world, right? Because that is the adversary, right? But outside of that religious viewpoint, there are many other, I won't call them adversaries lah, but many other things in between that will also take over your body. You know, in Asia, hungry ghosts can possess you anytime. You know, ancestors can possess you anytime. Gods can possess you anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
Sun Wukong can possess you, you know. So I think
so much for free will. Like, yeah, so, our body's not our body. No. Somebody's going to come in next and tell us that an alien can possess us. I swear.
Hey, my, anal probing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is not okay. That is not what I meant.
possession, I think, is quite a common thing, lah, especially in Asia, right? So it could be anyone. It could be anyone and anything, you know. And I like it when it's old ladies because you never know what they really are, you know. It could be something horrible and malevolent and ancient, like the Lao Lao in Chinese ghost story, you know, right? But on the other hand, it could actually be something quite normal and benevolent, and just tired. And hot.
And wanted a resting place.
Yeah, I wanted to be somewhere. To cool down. Yeah, you know, because she can't splash water on herself, right? So she needs a body to go and splash cold water with.
Then why does why doesn't she haunt the toilet? You know, when somebody's already showering, they'd be like, let me just get in there under the waters as well.
When people are showering, not so easy to possess them. You need to possess them when they're in a prone state. Soul. Yeah, maybe he's asleep. Yeah, and I think she picked him, right? Because as Eugene pointed out, not only is he sensitive, he's scared. He's clearly scared. One look in his locker and you know he's scared. Right? He's armed himself so much, right? So it's like, he has attracted her attention from day one. Mm. You know? And yeah, I think needed to get him away from his tools, his implements, his protection, you know, and catch him, right? I like the idea that she was tired. I think I have a lot of empathy for this ghost at this moment. You know, I think it must be exhausting, right, to be like drifting and wandering and, you know, really lost, like, you know, when the Chinese refer to them as Gu Hun Ye Gui, you know, like orphaned ghosts and wild spirits, you know, I think there's a tremendous empathy in that phrasing. You know, that is a hard life.
On to reply to Mel with regards to possession. And possession is a very scary thing and a very forceful thing. Now, the good news is, and this is coming from a lot of spiritual practitioners that I've spoken to during my own chaotic life from 2012 to 2014, is that not many people can get possession. To be possessed is very, very rare. To be possessed by a demon is even rarer. Demons don't want to possess you if you got no purpose for them. Demons have a purpose.
Yeah,
have nothing for them. They're not going to waste their energy and time to take over your useless husk of a vessel. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And for the same, on that same
point,
right? Being possessed by a god and an angel is also extremely rare. So only very, very few people in this world has the ability to handle possession because most bodies cannot take it. And if you're not a powerful entity, if you're one of those 7-month type one and you try to possess, the young energy will destroy you. You come into a body, the young energy will tear your essence apart. So what most people say is possession, it's not really possession. It's attachment. You know the Shakta one where the ghost is on the shoulder?
I do not watch horror stories. Refuse.
Oh, okay.
Attachment means the ghost follow you. In the Chinese one, you see those Hong Kong movie like you tiptoe because as the ghost is under your feet. You know that, right? Or the Thai one is the ghost is on your shoulder. That's why your shoulder is always aching. So that's an attachment. The ghost is not inside. It's influencing
attachment,
you.
I understand. Yeah. Yes.
So those who get possessed, maybe for example, like X or my ex Mel, these are people with the ability to already do mediumship. Then they are the Wi-Fi no password. Means anything can go inside. Yeah.
No, but you're also leaving out another category of people where they are the people whose young energy is so low that, you know, low security.
Low security.
Easy to guess. 6969 and everyone can come in. Right? You know, and any passing ghost can come in. Not because they have a gift, but because they have no protection whatsoever.
Correct.
Right. So it's dangerous when you are depressed and when you are severely sick. You know, you are prone, you are prone, right?
Low.
Yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah. You know.
So that's mood energy that you're talking about. Mood energy, right?
Yeah, it's yin and yang.
Emotional,
right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know?
So
and
you guys
all
are
interlinked. They're all interlinked. Okay. Yeah, so when your spirits are... Yes, how do you...
Okay, how I understand energy is a little bit different. Okay. Right, so, I mean, like, there are many different forms of energy, right? Mm. There could be thermal energy, there could be mood energy, there could be kinesthetic energy, you know, from, like, when you move a ball and stuff like that. So I do get how energy plays in a paranormal world. Mm-hmm. I do get how... But, like, saying that entities are energy beings, that is something that I disagree with.
Hmm. They're not energy beings, but they too have, they too are part of this energy cycle, right? So if you subscribe to yin and yang, for example, right, which is very hard to quantify in a sort of scientific concept, right?
Actually, what is yin parallel. And yang?
So the Chinese cosmos is divided into two life forces, right? The light and the dark, right? Basically, you know, the dark side and the light side, la, you know, the sun, the moon. You know, heat and warmth, right? Bright and dark.
The Jedi,
you
know, and the Sith.
Yes, it's fundamentally the entire human cosmos. It's the human cosmos, okay? It is the two sides, right? But what is unique about the yin and yang concept is that they must be in balance. They are not opposing forces, but they are interdependent. So we all contain We all contain both energies, right? Yeah. But the belief is that the spirit world is heavy on the yin side, because they are already passed on. So the yang energy, the life energy has moved away. Yeah, the living energy has left them. And so being dead or being, you know, from another sort of realm, they are all yin lah. They're mostly yin. So they seek yang energy, right? Okay. And human beings generally are safer from attack because they are full of yang energy, and too much yang energy, the spirits cannot approach. Right, but people who have low yang energy or heavy yin energy, for example, small children, right, pregnant ladies, people who are depressed, who are sick, who are perhaps unstable in some ways, right? Although they're still alive, but they've lost a bit of that life energy, you know, and they're tending towards the yin, then they become a little bit easier to approach, a little bit easier to attach to, and maybe even take over. You know, it's hard to quantify this in any sort of scientific way, but you know, I see it as the same as, you know, how we talk about foods that are heaty and foods that are cooling. There's no real way to quantify that logic. I can't explain to you why a pear is cooling but a durian is heaty, right? There's no science to explain it, but you try eating many durian and you will understand what I mean. You know, yeah, it works on the body, but Western science cannot explain it yet. So I think yin and yang also lies in that sort of para-hantu kind of world, you know, where science has yet to understand how it works, you know. But yeah, okay. I think that's kind of where I come from, lah. You know.
Okay.
Eugene, what do you think?
Eugene is looking at the comment section and trying to.
What's happening?
we had a kind donation from KK Heng just now, $5, and he says, hope to hear more police stories from Mel.
I think there were others as well. Because I was reading the story, I couldn't see, but I thought I saw from the side glance there were some others as well. Did I miss out any?
Nope, only one. Yes, there's one more. NS horror stories from AMXRVL. Emsreville. Emsreville. Okay, it says NS horror stories. Okay. Oh, we haven't done NS yet.
I mean, NS, I got so many. It's not like it would never end. It would be like a whole bunch of them.
Okay, and a coffee from Rye, $5.98. Thank you. Hey, why is the coffee being held by a hantu? Oh, it's so cute. The emoji. Okay, you got a cute little emoji there. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, those three. Thank you very much. Keep your coffees coming. Okay.
So, I've got some comments I want to read out. This one, it says, Thursday nights, the canine run faster than the handlers at Seletar Camp. This one is by Alvin. Why Thursday night? I will just explain it for those of you who are not aware of Thursday night. Oh, Mel, you know not Thursday night. Why?
Is it the one where Thursday nights spirit is more active?
Correct.
Okay. Why? Thank you. Question, why?
Between gods and ghosts, come, you answer.
I don't know.
I also don't know.
I'm not
covered. My Malay friends say so. because of the timing, it's the Thursday, Friday night thing. My grandma said it's the time where the worlds are closest. Again, no logic. It's just, thank you, Chua Elaine, for Melanie's sexy voice.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Keep saying more things. Keep saying more things.
Okay. Oh, okay. What kind of things you want me to say?
We'll save that for the OnlyFans account. Okay, so... Ever heard of the old lady and her granddaughter walking around Tekong BMT? Usually appear to the recruits who are unable to sleep.
I have heard of that one. Yes, it is everywhere.
Slap their face.
This one not yet sleep.
I think it's the same story that we heard. It's just been circulating.
That was very effective when people don't want to respect lights out. Okay? Yes, it will keep everybody.
Logic don't work on you guys. We'll use ghost stories to scare the hell out of
people. We'll use fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when I was in Tekong, I saw such amazing proof of the famous, you know, the famous parade square that you're not supposed to bring pork across because it used to be a Muslim cemetery.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tekong Camp 3, you're not allowed to bring any pork out of the cookhouse or the canteen into the bunk because the pork will cross the parade square and you will offend the spirits there. And we saw evidence of this. But I won't tell now. I will wait for the NS episode.
When is Army Day? When is Army Day?
SAF Day. Can someone check when SAF Day is?
We'll do it during SAF Day.
We'll make it a special
episode. Every year, SAF Day, we'll tell you SAF stories.
Oh my God.
It'll be quite meaningful.
Okay, this one.
Okay, if anyone out there knows reasons why Thursday is particularly busy, right? Is it because the veil is thinner on Thursday night or what?
BD says Malam Jumat, but what does it, the why? We don't know the why behind it.
What does it mean? Yeah. So please share with us.
Okay. Leslie Chong, last ghost movie, I think, or Ghost on Shoulders, says Ju Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Chong.
What was Leslie Chong's last ghost movie?
Hold on. Gotta go. You're the movie guy, right?
Huh?
First of July.
Last ghost movie?
Okay.
I don't know, leh.
July.
Okay.
July.
First
the week of July, we will tell you Army Ghost Story, okay?
All right. then I will tell you what I experienced, okay?
Remind John, please, before he forgets.
Yeah. Alex Chu is reminding us of the standby organ story.
Urban Legends. Huh? We'll share that.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
The new batch of youths need to hear all these urban legends. This is how we keep the urban legends and the myth alive through supernatural confessions, guys. We are doing the tough work of National Heritage Board of keeping this stuff alive.
It is heritage, it is, yeah.
All right, man. Supernatural Confession sponsored by MCI. Okay, very good.
Okay, so someone was saying about how to purge the spirit off your body if there's an attachment. Sean Lim said he heard walking into the temple, but must walk out the side door of the temple. That's what he heard. How to get rid of it.
Walk out the side door of the temple.
Because you know why not? You walk in the main door. Then the ghosts have to get off your back. You say, you're going to the temple. They cannot. Never mind, I wait for you outside. You come out. Then you go by the side door and zao.
So all you're doing is transferring the spirit to someone else. La.
Right. Just wait for another down in the luck person and be like, I can attach that. Okay. Let Yang Wong destroy me.
That's not good. I just thought of an even worse way, but okay, I'm not even gonna mention it because it's very evil.
I'm curious now. Tell me. I'm also curious now.
No, but okay, so the logic is always protect yourself first, right? Yeah. So if something follows you, you know, like so I was told this by someone who I asked, I said, you know, if I cannot wash my hands and feet before I go home, what should I do? Right? If I didn't prepare anything to wash my hands. And he says, you just go somewhere like, 7-Eleven or a coffee shop and just hang around there. And the spirit will find someone else to attach to. Then you can leave.
Really?
Spirit,
does it work that way?
The spirit see you eat prata, drink tere, boring, say this fella, never go home.
If ghosts attach themselves to somebody, it's because they want something, or it's because they're sucking your energy force, and then
I don't think it's so fated, right? It's like you are the one I've been waiting for. No, it's not. It's rather the I'm sick of being here. Let's go somewhere else. Right?
Okay, say poor 7-Eleven employee. All those who
the ghosts follow him.
I got ghosts following me. I better go 7-Eleven first. Poor guy working there in the graveyard shift.
Then the whole night, ding dong.
From now
on,
everything's
going
to be
there. One of my favorite Hong Kong horror movies is the one with the haunted 7-Eleven. Okay, I don't know what the name of it was, but it's one of those Meng Kui 7-Eleven or something. It's very, very good. But 7-Elevens are freaky. Yeah, because they are, to me, they are very yin places.
Mm.
Right? People, middle of the night, go 7-Eleven. I don't think they're happy people.
Hey, maybe they go back on
maybe they just want a snack. Yeah.
The guy's going to be happy, I'm sure.
Maybe they just want like the microwavable biryani. That's nice,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's no, that's sad. That's
making
sad.
Me hungry.
That is a very
I got three more comments to read out. So before we go to the next confession.
Okay.
This one is by Pixel Gunboy. He said there are some cases where people were who have been practicing skills that they do not fully understand and open up channels, aka their chakras in their bodies, making them Wi-Fi no password. Hashtag.
Mm. Oh, so now we're talking shamanism.
Well, I think dabbling with any magic, you know, lays you
occult,
open.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you may be after one thing, but everything else is after you. You know? So risky. Okay.
Sleepy
what else?
Healer is asking, Tumel, any strange encounter that you scared you in a police tin? Stay tuned for that. We'll get her to tell us in about maybe 11:10 lah, about there lah.
Oh, I like this comment. Just like if a thief stalk you, you walk into police station. Same logic.
They come off the back door.
If a ghost follow you, can I go to the police post and get rid of the ghost there?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know what I want to ask.
What?
So we talk about the army crest being blessed. Is the police crest blessed?
Yes,
Melanie,
it is. Yes.
It is equally blessed.
It is.
Government.
It is. Okay, so a lot one of the most common practices, right, is you know the police hat, right? Yeah, they will put it like on their cupboard beside their bunk when they sleep at night and everything. Yeah. So yes, we use that too. Actually, I find police stations like in itself, like I'm not talking about camp, I'm not talking about training ground, but like you know the brightly littered police stations, right?
Yeah.
We hardly have like experiences there, I find. Yeah. So it's
well protected.
Most I find so, yeah, because like the crest is everywhere. You know? Yeah. It's on every officer's uniform, it is on our walls, you know, and then like sometimes we have like heritage areas, you know, where we can show stuff. It's just everywhere, it's just plastered everywhere.
I'm glad you brought this up because in our very next confession that John will be reading is the old lady of Halifax Road. Is it?
Melanie.
Is Melanie? No, Melanie is the other one.
I'm reading the last one.
Oh, you're swapped with
No, you swap sequence. Oh. Eh? What is your next story?
The old lady of Halifax Road. Then the last one is the...
Okay, yes. The old lady is mine. I thought that was the third one. I thought that was...
Okay, so let me take that back. My very cool, smooth segue that got interrupted. Speaking of Mel saying that the stations are not haunted, my next confession may prove otherwise. And this one is confessed by WQ. Titled The Old Lady of Halifax Road. John, do us the honours.
I was stationed at Tanglin HQ. Tanglin HQ isn't anywhere near Tanglin Road. It's opposite KK Women and Children's Hospital. Back then, there was this huge car park behind the station where Halifax Road was. Today, if you go there, you will see a major construction going on. Tanglin Station itself has many stories. But since I never really encountered any myself, I can only regard them as hearsay. One of the urban legends that made its rounds was that there's a Pontianak haunting the car park beside the station. The car park was a popular haunt for couples to go there and make out. It's isolated and quite dark. There's only the police station and a row of colonial houses and the Central Expressway running past. As the story goes, couples who dare to park in that car park for some hanky-panky time will be visited by an old lady staring at them from outside the window. Based on their description, it was an old lady with rotten teeth. I think what I had encountered inside the station might be the same entity. This one very interesting. So I was on prowling duty at night around 4 a.m. The prowling is hourly and we take turns to do prowling. We have to actually go up and down the building and all the checkpoints to tip with our checking device. Level 4 is the library and it's also one of the spots that is the most interesting. So you need to walk right to the end by the glass panel. Inside is the library, on the left side is the wall, and this area is always very dimly lit. and many people have reported that this place is quite keras, supernaturally active. Huh? The spot that we have to tip was all the way at the end of the corridor. As I was walking back out, I felt suddenly on my left side, it doesn't feel so good. So after the library portion is an office with a small glass window and a door. From the corner of my eyes, I looked inside the office and saw an old makcik. I panicked. I ran to the lift. The lift came, but it wouldn't go down. The door was closed and then opened on its own again. I kept pressing door closed, but level one, but the door just kept opening up. So I closed my eyes and started praying. Then the whole lift started smelling of something sweet. Thankfully, after I'm not sure how long, the smell went away and the lift started moving again. After the encounter, I was sick for weeks.
Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh,
I get into trouble. Dang, dang, dang. We have a couple of Echo Boys in our chat group as well. They are also from Tanglin HQ.
Oh.
Ah, so how? HQ also can kena, no?
Ayah. Jipon don't respect your crest lah, like that.
I didn't say don't have. I said lesser.
Maybe she belongs in the building. That's why. So the crest also protect her from other hantu.
So Sequest BCD said the car park, and he's right on this one. I did my research in the area as well. The car park was actually a graveyard before it was turned into a park, and it used to be a pond there.
Okay. Where is this Tanglin HQ? I'm trying to figure out in my mind.
KK Hospital. In front or behind. There's a row of colonial houses there.
Okay. Because my school was near there last time. Okay, alright. Alright. So, what's going on? Melanie, how? Pontianak? Was it?
So, flowery scent is Pontianak, right? And Pontianaks are supposed to be young, beautiful women.
No guarantee. There's no...
Because every time you hear about Pontianak, they're like succubuses, right?
It's common. Right. No,
so in this case, it's an old Pontianak.
I think when you've been a Pontianak for a very long time, I think something will happen. Yeah, you know, there must be veteran Pontianaks.
So in Ponti the law, mama.
Ponti mama. Ponti mama.
Never stuck enough life force to maintain beauty.
To share with you the law of Pontianak, right?
The law.
They can appear because spirits can take forms. So they appear as beautiful women to trick passerbys. But their original form is usually old, ugly.
I think, I have an interesting opinion. So, I mean, it's easy to connect a female entity and then a floral smell, you know, and put them together and say Pontianak. Right? On the other hand, it's equally believable that there was something in the lift that was maybe Pontianak-like, but he couldn't see it. And then there was something else in the library, which was the makcik.
So you're talking two entities?
Yeah, because she didn't follow him.
Air freshener in the lift. I thought that was what you were about to say.
No.
Although it's entirely possible.
Like we discussed last week in the Bangkok hotel room, right? and then you get the smell. I don't know. I mean, first of all, okay, so let's take the rational. I don't know. Since no one here is going to do the rational thing, so I'm forced to. Okay, I will be rational. Okay, so number one, no reason why a old makcik or a cleaner cannot be in the building. Right? No reason, right? Number two, corner of the eye is always very suspicious. You know, it's always suspicious. You know, to see it front on is another thing, right? But to see in the corner of the eye and already feeling like a little bit like things are not right, it's a quick glimpse, It's a quick glimpse. So I wouldn't always trust the eyes in this sense, you know. And then I think it's easy to imagine smells or misrecognize a smell. You know, so I don't know, right? I've actually heard of much more concrete Pontianak encounters where, you know, it literally followed her into a lift and she could feel the air move, you know? And it was full on Pontianak because it was the part one and part two of the smell, right? Huh. You must. So it has to be a floral smell that grows more and more pungent until it starts to rot and stink.
Oh.
Then you can confirm it's Pontianak.
I see.
So he got half a Pontianak in training. I don't know. So to me, if you wanted to be absolutely rational, yes, it could be a cleaner and air freshener, you know, working on an already nervous mind at 4 a.m. in the morning, you know, could be, you know. But Eugene, would you say that it is the gin?
So I asked the same question because he said he saw a machi in the... the room.
In the, yeah.
My first, and then, you see, I saw from the corner of my eye, I turn, I saw a makcik, I panic, right? He said that. So my first question is like, wait, could it be the cleaner?
Yeah.
Right? First thought, could it be the cleaner? He says, it's at 4 a.m. Cleaning stuff, don't
stay. You know what time the cleaners have to start or not, so that they can get out of the way before you start. you open your office, right? And how early do police stations have to...
Where is this again?
Tanglin. Tanglin station.
The library there.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be cleaners in at 4 a.m. for sure.
You sure? Nowadays, all officers have night cleaners, right? Because the daytime, you don't want them cleaning.
No, I think cleaners...
But they do, though.
Hours.
They're around, you know, like disturbing us when we're doing our things. Vacuuming the floor.
We don't know.
Okay, sorry, auntie.
So, okay. So Carlos Cole is saying, you know why people keep seeing Hantu with the corner of the eye? It has to do with vision field limitation, right? Yeah, and this is quite... I think I've talked about it before. So the notion of Glimmengeist. Have I talked about Glimmengeist before?
No.
So Glimmengeist refers to the term where you see something moving past in the corner of your eye, right? And what scientists believe that it is that it's a reflex. It is your mind telling your animal senses... right, that you're in a dangerous situation, you need to open your field of vision more. So it's triggering the corners of your vision and saying, pay attention. And to do so, it sends signals to make you think something is there.
Right.
So you become more alert. Right, because normally your field of vision is very limited because you don't pay attention. You can actually see much wider than you think you do. Right, so it's meant to wake you up. Yeah, so then there may not actually be anything there. It is your mind telling you, you know, acting out of nervousness and out of anxiety, right? To wake up your senses, wake up your senses.
I think this particular confession is tough.
Mm, what do you think, Eugene?
It's tough to pinpoint that it's the hantu. I will be honest with this one. Even when you smell something, you know, I can imagine why you'll be frightened. Because already, if there is talk of that place being keras.
Correct.
You are going into the place preset with your mind that this place is scary. And I think for some reason, he's not doing it with a partner. So already you are fearful. You turn, you see. Okay, so I like to think that he saw something. Whether that something is the Pontianak or something is entirely different, I don't think it's the same Pontianak. It's not the Pontianak at Halifax Road then suddenly go through the wall and try to scare him inside. But today, nobody making out in the car park. I go to the library at fourth floor to read book. But he said he saw something. So maybe he saw something and he ran. But everything in this story, there is so many loopholes or so many holes in the story that it's very hard to confirm or deny convincingly that it is a haunting. So I cannot go with it's a haunting with this one. Cannot. But however, hearing the rumors and stories, even on the chat, now that I'm looking, people have said Halifax is known for its Pontianak. So yes, while there is haunting in the area, the question we are saying is, did this confessor actually witnessed that haunting for himself?
I mean, I think that if I spent a lot of time in a place that I know to be haunted and I've heard so many stories, then it wouldn't take much to trigger my misconceptions, right? Yeah. You know, every bird call is a Pontianak. because I would be totally freaked out. And doing 4 a.m. prowling is really ridiculous in a haunted building. You know? I know. Yeah. If I was in his position, I would see many.
You know what I think? You know what's that the old lady that I think he saw?
What?
So he walked. The room inside is of course dark and it's also dimly lit outside. But you can see reflection, right? So he probably turned and he saw himself, you know, like through the translucent, you know, like a bit of image. Then he probably looked like shit at 4 a.m. already. Coupled with the Pontianak stories in his head, he saw something ugly here and he ran away.
I thought you were going to say that he looked in the reflection and he saw himself as the old lady because he is possessed and the old lady is him actually, right? I think that's a very interesting story. I'm more interested in this Pontianak that watches people have sex in the car park.
Me too. I was about to say, hang on, wait a minute. We have a peeping Tom.
What is she doing?
No,
right?
But what does she do? Does she like,
she's
stop?
A peeping Tom.
No,
she's a ghost.
So peeping the stories pond. That I heard, she's... She will look at the wind, people like as they're doing, right? Then they look out the window, there's somebody standing there at the window looking at them. Then when they put on their pants, they come out, and then
she's gone.
When you open the door, it's gone because the entire car park is very open. And there's a pond, it's not like an old lady can shuffle away, hide behind a tree.
Yeah. So what was she doing?
Watching.
So there's one story where I heard, because I was doing research on Halifax Road, this guy was like, he was cleaning. He's cleaning himself up and he throws tissue paper out of the window. Then when he's about to drive off, he saw as an old lady beside his car licking the tissue paper. Like basically taking his life force.
Joe Catch says that is the kappa auntie lah.
But anyway, it's 11:03 now. Shall we get to Mel's stories?
Okay.
All right. So my hearsay stories.
So this is the getting to know Mel part, okay? Yeah. So we will ask Mel to share some of her stories, but at the same time, if you guys have interesting questions, right, you can please throw them in the chat and we'll see how many we can answer also lah.
Okay.
Okay, come, tell us.
So I was in a traffic police for about 3.5 years, right? So we have heard stories, of course, like, I don't know, they like to talk about these things and I like to listen, right? So one of the one that really stuck with me is there was this one fatal accident, right? Involving an older gentleman riding a bicycle or a motorbike. I cannot remember, right? Okay. Fatal accident. He was carrying like a Maggie packets, curry Maggie packets in his bag. And because of the impact of the accident, curry powder was everywhere. Right. So officers who attended to the scene said that it was everywhere. The smell was around, you know, Maggie curry is pretty potent. So in our forensics room, we have a drying cabinet, right, where sometimes when we bring evidence back, we don't want it to rot. So we will dry the blood out. So it's like a dehumidifier of sorts. So basically remove the moisture, right? So we just called it the drying cabinet. I can't really remember what it's called. Right. So During the course of that investigation, officers have said like different spots on level 2, that's where the investigation unit is. Like at level 2, they can smell like curry powder, like, you know, like Maggie curry around the place. Yeah, at different times, odd times of the day, different locations, they can just smell it until the case was closed. And then they just, nobody smelled curry anymore. So I thought that was quite, I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. You know, if you want to talk about like attachment. The ghost is attached to either this case or the ghost is attached to whatever dried blood evidence thing that we have in our office. Right? Until case is closed and then, you know, we have to file evidence away and everything and then it's probably not around anymore, that artifact.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this one, I'm a little bit, it's like, okay, it's more believable than possession. I know everybody's like saying possession is real. I'm sorry, but...
Or could it just be that when the thing happened and everyone who was on site smelled the curry powder and thought, oh yeah, long time never eat curry Maggie.
And then everybody started
eating.
Then
the next few days, everybody is going 7-Eleven.
Nobody is eating Maggie curry. But yeah, they verified that, I'm pretty sure. We only have one pantry anyway. But yeah, so
okay. Where was this taking place? Where's the headquarters that you're talking about?
Traffic police at Ubi.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't there a traffic police or LTA thing at also at Tanglin?
That's LTA.
Not at Tanglin, but near KKH.
That's
near,
LTA.
Near KK Hospital, yeah. Right? Ah, okay, yeah. That's LTA. Okay. Yeah. Okay, tell us more. I like
this. Yeah, you like one. The curry one. Me too. I like the curry one. Okay. Okay, there is this urban legend, okay, about when the TP building was being built. So this was many, many years ago. TP building is very old. Our lifts are breaking down. If anybody is listening, please spend money to upgrade our lifts. It's always breaking down. And I have to like climb the stairs. Okay, anyway. Exercise, but all right. So anyway. So when the allegedly. When the building was being built, a security guard got into an argument with a contractor. And the contractor killed the security guard.
Wow.
Right? And so every now and then, somebody will see said security guard.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, like, when the security guards have no business at the time of day, they're not at a guardhouse. I mean, like, I don't think they prowl, you know, and basically we're in access area. So you need to have like a pass, they go beep to come in. I don't know if the security guards have these, but most of the time when I see security guards in our building, they're just standing at the door to vet like cars coming in, right? So if it's like at night and there are no cars coming in, they should be standing at the guardhouse, like in front. Yeah. Mm. So they shouldn't be wandering around. That's one thing. So it would be odd, lah, I think, to see like a security guard walking around the premises. So that's one. But, you know, there have been sightings, multiple sightings. So that's an urban legend that I hear when I first moved to TB. They're like, okay, ma'am, you need to hear all these horror stories. I'm like, okay, hit me. So that's one of them. Another one is...
And did you see him yourself? Did you see him yourself? Did you get a sighting?
Okay, no. Right. I don't see anything that I choose not to see. So
but then again... Register.
Yeah.
But then again, you didn't know what he looked like when he was alive.
No,
so you might
but
have seen him. You
but it's an old
him.
Security uniform, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. Okay, okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
Since you say that if you saw, you would deny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe one of them all along was him, right? You know.
Maybe. Okay, anyway. Oh, I interact with my security guards all the time. I say good morning. And they say good morning back. I say good evening, and I say good evening back. Don't scare me, jeez.
Because based on Eugene's story just now, they can even sit in a toilet and have conversations with you, right?
I know, so, right?
Yeah.
They're so sentient. Okay.
Very, very.
The other
much.
One
okay.
that we hear yes. is about a little boy. So apparently, there's a little boy running shoeless around a compound, and that's it. That's all I've heard about it. Like they hear, see a little boy running around, and that's all. Especially around a car park area, like where we keep like our vehicles.
Daytime, nighttime. Daytime, nighttime. Okay. Wow, interesting. This TP, we must go and check it out.
So I didn't say that we don't have. It's just not that many. Not as many as like, you know, the training camps or like the big like land masses near the forest, you know, those kind of things.
Yep.
Actually,
there's a question from RSVP by Grace saying, and I'm quite interested to know about this as well. Is there any stories about Hantu helping to solve a case? Or like there's a murder?
Like ghost whisperers?
No, like maybe someone was murdered, you know, and then it's like there's a cold case and then the spirit come to you in your dreams and talk to you about it.
I have never heard of that. I've heard of intuition, uncanny intuitions on how people solve murders. But a ghost helping out? They probably kept it pretty under wraps.
Okay. So one guy I interviewed once who was he was a very, very strong sight, right? And he was also a forensic pathologist. he was not the forensic pathologist. I think he was an assistant, right? And he said that he had the hardest time getting used to the job because while his superior is down there doing the autopsy, the spirit is right there trying to say what happened.
Oh.
You know, but he cannot go and tap his boss on the shoulder and go, it was a 12-inch knife and it was two people attacking him. How do you know?
So he works at HSA.
No, he used to work in the SGH forensic labs in Outram. Yeah, which is also where my mother used to work. So that reminds me, I must go and pump her for stories also. You know? So yeah, right. Yeah, so he was there for quite a few years, and he said it was very stressful because he would know everything that happened to the victim, but could not put it down into the report.
So again, this is another account of a sentient being that has memories about what happened.
Yeah, I mean, he must be traumatic, man. Because he's still attached to the body, right? Yeah, you know, the bright light haven't come yet.
So I would like to recommend everyone, when you're still alive, please do not take it for granted when you are playing charades, because there's no telling that one day when you die and you need to pass all this information to the the psychic, you can be
learn
like,
your skill. Yes. And if you want to use Ouija board, please spell properly, okay? Yeah.
I die already, my spelling and my grammar all gone.
We need to work on our spelling, we do.
Speaking of which, right, you talk about the ghost helping, and this brought to mind. I got this again, I have to declare this is hearsay.
Okay.
It was a taxi driver who told me that he's a very good friend with the inspectors who were in charge of the Adrian Lim's case. And he said, they never tell you, because he knows that, hey, you're the Supernatural Confessions guy, right? So I had a nice chat with him in the cab. And he says, this one, nobody will tell you, but I know the inspector for the Adrian Lim's case. They cannot find him. Whole block, they cannot find. Up, down, they cannot find. Then this guy, they go and call the BOMO. Then they chan. Then straight away in front, they follow the blood stain all the way up. Only through magic, they can fight magic. That's what I got, lah. I'm just sharing with you what he told me, lah.
They follow the blood stains.
Yeah, got blood stain. Can
and
follow,
they couldn't see, they the, couldn't blood see blood the blood stain before.
Oh, couldn't see the blood stain.
So it's like as if the thing just... If that...
So is this like supernatural CSI, right? Okay. Yeah.
Donnie Darwin is asking, want to ask Melanie, does the SG police investigators use BOMO to help?
You sure?
Personally,
you sure?
I've never come across any of my IOs asking me, ma'am, I cannot solve this case. Can I please pick up the phone and call a BOMO? No, none of my IOs have ever asked me that before. Now, okay. back to the roots, and we were like, let's go back and look at facts. We go look at surveillance cameras. We'll just go ask a few more questions. You know, we go back to the basics to see if we missed anything out.
What about missing children? Do you not bring psychics in? You know, like
missing children. You know,
here's a piece of clothing that my daughter wore. You know, like.
I've never done a missing person's case. I have read about missing. Okay. Can't disclose. Okay, so I read about, but I've never done a missing child's like person case. And like in Singapore, safe to say, a lot of our missing children cases are more runaway cases than kidnaps or murders or, you know, anything scary or human trafficking and stuff like that. Not too much, I would think.
Small island with too much CCTV lah. So there's a limited range of possibilities. No, but okay.
That's scary.
So let's say you have a case, a murder or something, right? Yeah. And a spiritual master comes up and says, I know the answer. You know, or the spirits have told me the answer. What would the official response to this person be?
It depends. First of all, how did this person approach us? Online.
Like literally just comes up to the station or something and go, I want to speak to so-and-so in charge of this case. You know, the spirits have told me something.
Okay. You know?
What would you do? Would you be able to accommodate him or would you?
Yeah. We won't turn somebody away. Won't turn somebody away with tips. So like somebody says they know something regarding and he came down in person. Yeah, we'll send somebody to hear them out, take down a few notes, say thank you.
And then probably look at him with suspicions like, how do you know?
Oh yeah, maybe we will be like, does anybody have like the person's ID? Sir, excuse me, can I have your IC? Just about some screenings, maybe. I haven't encountered anybody actually walking like tip lines, yes. But we do have some crazies in our tip lines.
Okay. I mean, Singapore police force not as good as the Malaysia Supernatural Forces. The one who use coconut try to find the aeroplane.
The plane, right?
Did
it work, by the way?
No, la, still, still don't find. No. Maybe the coconut not fresh enough. Anyway, there's a question from Gavinet. Says, Mel, is there any crime so far that science cannot explain? Like, you know, it's supernatural related. You just cannot put it down in the court, in the document, because it's... like science cannot explain. Like really, this is the.
I'm thinking really hard about this. Hang on, give me a minute.
I got a feeling she goes, can I actually say this?
Yeah, she's like,
Will I get a HR call tomorrow? Excuse me, Miss Tan, can you please come down to the station? We'd like to talk to you about the show you did yesterday.
Oh my God.
Did I sign an NDA?
We signed an OSA, okay?
Ah, see? Okay.
Let me think. Any case that I haven't...
Or that you read about?
That cannot be explained. Files. Okay, so like... Crime in Singapore is really boring, I have to say. It's not like anything exciting, you know. It's like
crime is really boring.
It's really boring. Well, you don't need to CSI anything. You already know who it is. You just need to.
We're not encouraging anyone, okay?
Yeah.
We are not saying be more creative.
We need more like
your crime.
Creative serial murderers. No,
no,
we don't have,
no.
We don't have those in Singapore. We never will have. You can't get away with it. That. You just can't.
Yeah.
But
don't bother.
Yeah, but so anything that science can't explain. I would have to say no, that science can't explain, but we do see evil.
Huh?
I mean, we do see evil in some of the more horrific crimes that you know, people
that's,
commit.
They're not human, nah. That's a human side of things, lah.
No, man. I don't understand how anybody can do that. I mean,
okay. I think the police are in a very difficult position because they have to see humanity at its worst.
Yeah, you don't fucking understand.
In a way that the rest of us don't have to come across so often.
And the media doesn't portray a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Lim has a question for you.
Yeah.
She say, is she a 10? Of course she's a 10. Look at her, how hot she is.
What are we talking about?
Oh, is she an I.O.? Oh, no,
is she an I.O.?
Okay. I.O.
What's an I.O.?
Investigation officer.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, right.
She, can I say my real title?
Oh no.
I wasn't an IO, but my men were IOs. Does that make sense?
She's
oh
the
no,
IO
she's,
head.
She's the
no,
super
no, no,
IO.
I'm definitely not head. No, 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 I'm not head.
Super
I'm not head.
IO.
OC.
Super IO. She's the EIEIO.
Okay? I'm the old McDonald. That's what it is.
Wow. She runs the farm. Yeah, with all the...
Yes, right.
She's wow,
okay. You okay. Everyone watch out. She knows all your secrets.
Oh, you talk about evil, right? So Chua Yili is saying the devil made me do it. And then there's another question that came up from Donnie Darwin that's kind of related as well. This question again for Melanie. Is there any horrible crimes that can manifest hantu, or perhaps even crimes that you think has influenced by supernatural?
Okay, so you know, I do feel like a lot of the domestic murders that we have. So in Singapore, most of the time, our murders are not random, sporadical attacks by crazy people. Okay, we don't have a lot of drug cases in Singapore. We don't have a lot of, apart from drugs, I don't understand how anybody else can snap mentally, right? So, let's not go into that yet. But we do, like, most of our murders are between people that know each other, right? And a lot of it is domestic. Right, so it's more like crime of passion kind of thing, you know. But sometimes I just don't understand how can somebody snap to the point where they stab somebody over 20 times, you know.
Have you ever been
after
married?
The first step, don't you? I mean, well, yeah, I get why you want to stab somebody once or twice, but 20, do you know how much blood there is in a human body? And you know, like 20 like holes, like puncture marks is,
I
don't get it.
That's where the psychopathy comes in, right? That, you know, if you stab once or twice and you find yourself enjoying how that felt, then that's the reason you keep going, you know?
I can never understand that. I mean...
But I guess that's what separates us from them, right? You know, those people who can take pleasure in something like that, you know?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
Okay, so psychopathy is when somebody doesn't know that what they're doing is wrong, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, then the other one, sociopaths are people who know it's wrong and still do it anyway. Right? So, there's signs to somebody being a sociopath. You don't just snap and be a sociopath. You know,
be
a psychopath, but not a sociopath. So it's like you purposely do things that you know are wrong because you like it. And that doesn't apply to when they start stabbing people.
I can imagine a crime of... But you see, okay, so it's only intense. It's only intense emotions that can breed. They can breed other intense emotions.
Yeah.
Right. You know. So if someone's going to kill you and kill you viciously, it's because they felt viciously about you, right?
Right.
So intense love can become intense hate. You know, and I think if there is intense hate, that's worth more than one or two stabs. I think you stab until you cease to feel the hate.
There is a I read about this somewhere. I really slipped my mind right now. I'm trying to recall something about the psychology of murder, crime of passion. Crime of passion, when you are very angry, when you are sane, you will step up to a maximum of 5, or there is a specific number psychologists have determined, right?
No,
like,
I get it.
Up to this point, you are sane, right? Yeah. So then you finish it and you like, it's 7 steps max. 20 steps, it's not your norm already. It's another part of the brain. So it's no longer just an expulsion of anger. It's something else. I remember reading this.
So I do feel like there are evil forces driving behind this. It's more than just anger. It's more than just crime of passion. Like, okay, so this is just murder. What about rape?
Yeah.
The children. You know what I mean? What about those kind of cases? Mm. Yeah. Those like really unspeakable sort of like, I don't even know what the fuck is happening kind of cases. And, like, and how?
The thing about affliction of the supernatural, right? It's 99% of the time, it's very subtle. You know, you don't get the whole Hollywood exorcist thing, like, you know, things burst.
No. Yeah, no.
It's always an influence. That's why the good versus evil. I mean, if you even take a look at, you look at the biblical version of good versus evil, right? It's these are things that slowly pushes you to the edge. It makes you feel how it pulls that emotions out from you. So yes, it is still within you, but where does the influence lie? That's the question.
Yeah, no, I do get that.
Hey, Tim O is in the house. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Okay, we are dealing with very profound things here. The nature of evil. Yeah. Just your casual Friday night.
What did I miss? Oh, there's a lot that you missed, bro. It's a very heavy topic.
I even broke. And,
come, Tim O, tell us why humans are evil.
Actually, we've got 11:23 now. I think we may not be able to dissect the last confession.
But we should,
hear it anyway.
Wait, just before it disappears, someone mentioned, let's see, Alice Malt said that I did NS police and he has stories. So please, Eugene. Yeah, and please get in touch with Eugene. Share some of your stories. Yeah, you know, we are happy to do a police story part 2. Right? So more stories, please. Okay. In the meantime, shall we get on to the last tale?
Yes, the last tale. This one is confessed by Anonymous and it's titled, If You Love Me, You'll Be With Me.
I love this one.
And, narrated by the very sexy voice of Melanie Tan.
Hey. Okay, so I'm going to start. I was new to the force, I think probably still during my first month. We were responding to a distress call about a disturbance and possible attempted suicide happening at Avenue 3. When we got to the house, I saw an elderly woman on a chair and a younger girl, I assumed was the daughter of the older lady. An elderly man in a red polo tee and grey pants was standing a little further away at the entrance to their bedroom. My senior took the lead and managed the situation. Upon seeing no immediate threat or injuries, he instructed me to take the statement from the elderly lady while he went to speak to the younger girl. From my conversation with the woman, I learned that she has recently lost her husband. She has been inconsolable since, and every night for the past month, she can see her husband calling out for her to join him. This night, she got into a heated argument with her daughter, who wants her to move on and not to sprout nonsense about joining him. That's when I asked her about the other elderly man in the house and if I could speak with him. He wasn't standing at the doorway anymore, and I assumed he had just walked into the bedroom. The old lady looked puzzled. She said she was living alone with her daughter. There was no other man at home. Her son is in Australia. I said I saw a man in a red and white striped polo tee and grey pants. The old lady looked shocked and then broke down crying hysterically. I looked to my senior for advice on handling the situation. He went to talk to her but couldn't get anything coherent out of her. After some exchange that went on out of earshot, my senior said, "Okay, all settled, let's go." We left the place and kept walking in silence all the way to our patrol car and drove off. After we had left the car park, my senior said to me, "You asked about the old man in red and white polo tee, is it?" I said, "Yeah, what's wrong?" "Well, how do you know about him?" "Know about what?" "About the husband." "I don't. What are you on about?" "You saw a man in the house wearing a red polo tee with white stripes." "Yes, he was there when we entered." "I didn't see him." "What?" I exclaimed. "The husband was buried in his red polo tee and white striped and grey pants. And the lady has been seeing this vision every night, asking her to jump down and join him. I'm not sure how you saw the same thing, but I'm just going to leave this out of the report."
I love this story.
Me too. I have one question, but y'all go ahead first. Straight it's away, like, John is like...
it's like a scene from a movie, right? You know, it's totally like, oh...
I'm excited about this
one. There's an old lady, there's an old lady, there's a daughter, and there's a man. Which one's the ghost?
Okay,
which one's the ghost? Right?
You know?
Yeah, it's... Wow, I tell you, it's show, it's show, it's show. Okay, what was your question, Melanie? What was your question?
Who would bury somebody in a polo tee?
It's like his favorite shirt, lah. It's his favorite shirt.
But would you?
You know, you bury
them. Do you want them to look dapper?
Yeah.
And then also they said like, and then they also said like, follow me and jump, right? Wait, how did the old man die?
Didn't say.
They didn't say, right? But if he said follow me and jump, maybe he jump.
Yeah, so maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like follow me and jump, right?
Right. Mm. So if he jumped, shouldn't it be a closed casket case? It's pretty gory seeing bodies of people who
landed. But I mean, it's quite common to just approach the widow and say, what was his favorite clothes? And the wife would pick, right? So the wife would very much know what she picked for him, lah. Right? And I can't imagine a normal Singaporean uncle wanting to be buried in a suit. It'd be like the worst, weirdest thing.
Really?
Like,
so because hot. All the funerals that I've been to, they're just dapper. You know, the suit, tie. Even a little handkerchief thing.
Wow. None of my uncles own a suit.
My grandpa was buried in a short sleeve white shirt.
Really? Yeah.
Didn't you buy it from like the funeral homes?
Oh. They wouldn't want to spend eternity wearing something
Asian
you would
culture,
never want to wear in life.
Yeah, in Asian culture, you take your favorite clothes to wear.
You know, why yeah, we don't have the whole notion of Sunday best and kind of thing, you know. No way, you're going to hell anyway. You know,
that's
burn me something nice. At 7 months, you know, you got change of clothes, don't worry.
You're going for the Taoist thing, you're going to go the 18 courts of hell, very hot now.
Ernest Doe says my brother wore a polo tee and it burned the favorite clothes. Birthday suit best, Frankie. That can be arranged, Frankie.
Okay. We have the closed casket then.
What if the casket cannot close? Okay, anyway.
Jiu Chong also said my dad was dressed in uncle shirt and pants. So, Singapore, you don't dress up in suit with a little handkerchief thing there. Not that I've seen anyway.
I think many families will want their relatives to wear what they're comfortable with, you know, and what identifies them, lah. You know, KK, red clothes is very different.
Mr. David says, depends on personality of the deceased, of course. My late dad is quite vain, so mom said to dress him up gentleman style. So, yes, you have,
it's the personality, lah. You know, I mean, it's someone who never thought wearing suits is an interesting thing, you know, then he wouldn't want to die in one, you know, but someone who I think has a certain sense of occasion and formality.
Yeah,
definitely. Right?
So Avenue 3 Toa Payoh, I think they are not the suit type, lah.
Is it Toa Payoh? Was it Toa Payoh?
Toa Payoh Avenue 3.
I read Avenue 3. I didn't know which part of Singapore.
All depends on the family. All depends on the family and whether the guy left instructions, lah. You know. But I'm curious now. If you say follow me and jump, and he jumped, right? So here you have a case because we didn't hear anything about what went on in the investigation, like why he jumped, for example.
Was a previous case because he was dead like a few weeks already, right? So, and whoever or the police responded to this case was not
a domestic case.
Yes.
It's probably like they were shouting, arguing in a neighbor's court. They'd be like, domestic dispute. Yeah.
Interesting, huh? Because I'm just interested in the psychology of the widow and you know what she's seeing. And And it's one of those things that, to me, could be 50-50. It could be totally, you know, the husband jumped and now wants another person to jump with her, with him. On the other hand, it could also be something unresolved in her,
right?
And her grief.
Guilt,
and, you know, and grief or guilt and wanting to follow him.
Or it could be something that has actually taken the life of the husband and now goes to the next family.
That also, yes.
Are we talking about attachment or possession now?
It's not possession. This is
some other spirit.
An entity that is
deceiving her.
Quite powerful in that sense, but did not possess them, is coming to her to influence her to take her life.
Yeah, like what happened with the medium in Insidious, right? You know, where she saw her husband you know, asking her to kill herself and join him, you know, but she knew it's him.
Is that a horror show?
She knew it's not him. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It is. Watch.
I don't know.
Something you don't watch, you know?
No. KS
is asking why the police didn't interview the old man first.
The senior was the one who gave the instruction and the senior did not see the old man.
Could not see the old man. That's right. Yeah. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, 11:31. So we got to say our goodbyes. Tonight, 11:35, have a featured confession with Murali before he was a spiritual master. He was a police officer. So listen to stories from Ang Mo Kio Police Station. he was sharing a lot of very interesting stuff. And I just want to quickly give a last minute advertisement. There's a cleansing of Pancha Kosha happening tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So if you guys still want to catch us for this one, one day only. I do not know when Murali is going to come back again. So just contact me for that one. My number is there, 945-94931. Also, quick thanking our patrons. We have Sentience, Spirits and Souls Tier, Alessian Adrian Chua Elaine, Deborah Confield, Chia King To, Joel Go, Karina, Candy Chia, Grace Chai, Linda, Ron Suchie, and of course, everyone who has donated to us today on this show as well. Thank you. Thank you so much. You have made this show possible. And no, we really appreciate it. And I see the view counts, you know, it's been today's 260. Mel, this is the highest we got.
Wow.
I got a feeling a lot of the police officers are watching us right now.
Yeah, maybe. Suddenly. Like,
they're CID, like, okay, like, this bitch is so talking bullshit.
You better tune in. Yeah, he's revealing all the secrets.
So if you guys are doing night duty and watching us from the station, hello, my name is Eugene.
Hi, Jonathan here, and this is our guest Melanie. Yeah.
Hi.
All your secrets.
That's right. No, excuse me. Hello, don't ask me to sign OSA things. The one standing
behind you is the old lady. Say hi.
The potato of Halifax.
But yeah, no, if there are any police out there, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do, and take care of yourself. Yeah.
And if any of you want to reach out to me anonymously, my number is 945-94931 or find me on supernaturalconfessions.com.
Yay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Melanie. This was fun.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Any parting words? Any parting advice?
Yeah.
Parting advice? Advice? What do I want advice about? What can I advise about? Any parting advice? Oh, okay. I have an advice. Be as oblivious as you can. And just don't see what you want to see. They don't disturb you. You don't disturb them. We're cool.
Okay.
But if you think you see something, don't go look. Okay, just
don't check.
No. Don't go investigate things that don't need to be investigated.
Okay, this is the boss of the IOs telling you don't investigate. Okay. Okay, what I have learned today is very interesting. And I'm going to act on it tomorrow. I'm going to go to Beach Road. I'm going to buy an army crest and a police crest and have them with me at all times because they certainly are effective.
Oh, I want to know, is it the same crest? Is it a Singapura crest?
No, like, army one looks
is it the same crest?
I think it's slightly different. Yeah, I think it's different because the SAF one is gold. Yours is silver, right?
Silver,
police is silver, yeah. Yeah, so I will buy one of each and protect myself with it. Double crest.
Double crested.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, Eugene, you.
To summarize what I've learned from my guest today, in short, act blur, live longer.
That's right.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you guys on Friday Night Live.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.